Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our risen Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. One of the great temptations that faces the preacher on Good Shepherd Sunday is to haul out all of the silly little stories about sheep and shepherds. And if he's not careful, the sermon can quickly become more of a lesson on animal husbandry than on the gospel of Jesus Christ. And yet, I find that the analogy here of shepherd and sheep is one that is one of the Bible's favorite and one of the most frequently used analogies for illustrating the relationship that we have with Christ as Christians and that Christians have with one another. For example, Moses in Numbers chapter 17 describes the congregation of believers in terms of sheep and shepherds. Moses writes, "Let the Lord appoint a man over the congregation who shall go out before them and come in before them, who shall lead them out and bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord may not be as sheep who have no shepherd." The problem, however, throughout all of church history, both Old Testament and New Testament, is that neither sheep nor shepherds behave like sheep or shepherds should behave. And so in the Old Testament, sheep are often accused of following the wrong shepherd or going astray. Isaiah describes the members of the one true church like this: "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned each one to our own way." If you think that the sheep of God are something less than exemplary, then just wait till you hear about the way the Old Testament prophets talked about the shepherds of God. The prophet Jeremiah says, "Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, declares the Lord. You have scattered my flock, led them away. You have not attended to them, declares the Lord." I'm almost nervous at this point to say that the German word for shepherd is pastor. And so as we move from the Old Testament into the New Testament, it really shouldn't surprise us at all that Jesus, in perfect continuity with the prophets of old, uses the same figure of speech to describe his relationship with his Christians and the Christians with one another. Matthew writes that when Jesus saw the crowd, he had compassion on them. Why? Because they were like sheep without a shepherd. Now there is one more part to this allegorical picture that Jesus has drawn in our gospel reading for this morning that may not be familiar to us 21st century non-agrarian types that needs to be explained. Jesus, our gospel, talks about a sheepfold. A sheepfold is a walled-in structure where shepherds keep their sheep at night. The sheepfold keeps the sheep in, keeps the wolves out, and it lets the shepherd get a little sleep at night, knowing that they're safe. The person who guards the door to the sheepfold, he is called the gatekeeper. And some sheepfolds, particularly around big cities, some of these sheepfolds were quite large enough to handle several flocks all at the same time. And so several shepherds would lead their sheep into the same sheepfold. The gatekeeper knew who the true shepherds were, and he would only admit the true shepherds into the sheepfold through the door. There was only ever one door to a sheepfold. When the shepherd came to take his sheep out, he would call his sheep with a particular call. His sheep would know the voice of their shepherd, and they would follow their shepherd, and they would not follow any other shepherd, for they knew the sound of his voice, and they knew and they could distinguish between the voice of their shepherd and another one. So now, with that bit of background firmly planted in our minds, Now we can begin, I think, to make the point that Jesus would have us understand in our gospel text this morning. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. Jesus' immediate audience here, he is speaking directly to the Pharisees. The Pharisees consider themselves to be the shepherds of Israel. And Jesus is telling the Pharisees that as a shepherd of Israel, to try to enter into the sheepfold, that is, into the people of God, by any other means than through the door, then they are not a true shepherd at all. That makes them a false shepherd, whom Jesus calls thieves and robbers. But he who enters the door, is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. True shepherds come to the sheepfold through the door and no other way. And there is only one door to a sheepfold. True shepherds lead their flock out through the door and no other way. When he has brought out all of his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. True shepherds lead their sheep, and their sheep follow them. False shepherds go behind their sheep, which means that they need to continually prod and poke and push the sheep to get them to go where they want them to go. If there's trouble or danger ahead, it's the sheep who experience this long before the shepherd ever does. A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Notice that in this analogy that Jesus is describing, the sheep are not confident in their shepherd based on the sight of him or based on their feelings toward him. Their confidence rests entirely on the sound of his voice. They are able to distinguish the voice of their shepherd, the true shepherd, from all other shepherds. So as Jesus then comes to the end of his story about sheep and shepherds, St. John makes the remark that the Pharisees had this blank look on their face, kind of like the look I see on your faces after all too many sermons here. They just didn't get it. They didn't know how this story applied to them. They didn't know where they fit into this story or what it meant to them at all. And so Jesus again said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. And all who come before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came so that they may have life and have it abundantly." Now this is where our gospel reading for this morning ends. Whoever it was who arranged the readings for each Sunday decided that this was enough for us for one Sunday. This was enough for us to consider. This is not the end of Jesus' sermon. It goes on now for another nine verses. And it is in the second part of the sermon that Jesus talks about himself as being the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. But this year, our focus is limited to the first application in his sermon, which is, "I am the door." Next year, we'll get to the Good Shepherd theme. But for this Sunday, our focus is on, "I am the door." So, who knows? Maybe we should call this Good Door Sunday. Probably not. When Jesus says, "I am the door," he's using one of those powerful self-identifiers that John has structured his entire gospel around. Jesus says, "I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the good shepherd. I am the way and the truth and the life. I am the true vine. I am the resurrection. I am the Son of God." Which, with each of these I am statements, Jesus is identifying himself as the one true God who met Moses in the desert and said, "I am who I am." Now, here, our attention is focused upon Jesus, who says, "I am the door." What does this mean? What is Jesus intending this figure of speech to mean? What does Jesus want his audience to learn from this sermon? Keep in mind, Jesus has actually two audiences that he is speaking to. He is speaking directly to the Pharisees, and they are certainly his primary audience, but he is also speaking to those who are gathered around listening to him speak to the Pharisees, and they are the sheep of his pasture. First of all, Jesus, speaking to the shepherds of Israel, the Pharisees, says this: "The only way that you are to lead people into the sheepfold, which is the kingdom of God, and out of the sheepfold into the world to live as people of God, is through faith in Jesus Christ. He and he alone is the door. No one gets in, no one comes out except through the door." Problem is, the Pharisees rejected Jesus, and they threatened to excommunicate from the synagogue or the temple anyone who followed Jesus. They were trying to lead people into the kingdom of God in another way than through the door, that is, through faith in Christ. And so their judgment was really a double judgment. They were not only judged for rejecting Jesus personally, but they were also judged for leading others astray, leading others to reject Jesus as the door into the kingdom of heaven and eternal life. They were false shepherds. In our own day, false shepherds go by other names than the names of Pharisees, but they are just as present today as they were then. They promise people that they will lead them into the kingdom of God, but they do not take us through the door that is Jesus Christ. Here in this sermon that Jesus is preaching, Jesus is appealing to all false shepherds that they would repent and turn from their false and misguided ways and enter into the kingdom of God through faith in him, and that they would lead people into the same kingdom through faith in him. But this message of Jesus' sermon is also directed to the people who call themselves Christians, that is, all who through holy baptism have been given the gift of faith in Jesus Christ and who are the sheep of the Good Shepherd. The sheepfold here is obviously the one true church. The message is a word of warning to all Christians that Jesus would have us hear. We need to be familiar enough with the voice of Jesus that we recognize it and that we are able to distinguish between his voice and the voice of false shepherds. We are very easily misled by false shepherds because we simply do not know the voice of the true shepherd. How can we recognize the voice of the good shepherd when we do not know his word? The sound of his law and gospel, the sound of his forgiveness that forgives all of our sins freely by grace alone, through faith alone, for Christ's sake alone. Simply put, we need to be in the Word so that we know the Word, so that we may recognize the true shepherd and stay away from the false ones. We need to be in the Word here in worship, in group Bible study, in adult Bible study, which, by the way, if you missed this morning's adult Bible study, you missed a good one. You need to be in the Word in your home, reading the Bible on your own, with your family, in devotion, knowing the Word, being able to distinguish the voice so that you follow the true shepherd. There is also another message of warning in Jesus' sermon that I think is very important for his sheep to hear. Jesus says, "I am the door." He does not say, "I am a door." Keep in mind, there is only one door to a sheepfold. I bring this up because I recently read a review of a study that has just been published. It was done in 2010. It's that recent. It's called American Grace: How Religion Divides and Unites Us. And it's a study of American Christians, U.S. Christians, carried out from 2006 through 2009, in which Christians were asked about their beliefs and what it was that they believed, and basically their spiritual beliefs. Interestingly for us, a significant number of the respondents were identifying themselves as members of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. What this study shows is not good news. It shows a striking disconnect between Missouri Synod pastors and the members of their congregation. We pastors think that we have been quite effective in preaching and teaching our parishioners that there is only one door into the kingdom of heaven, and that that door is Jesus Christ. But when the LCMS parishioners who participated in this study were asked, "How does a person go to heaven?" I'm embarrassed. 86% said, "A good person goes to heaven even if he or she is not a Christian." 86%. I don't know. I mean, maybe it's just been too many silly sheep stories. But we are following the wrong shepherd. I don't know who we're listening to, but we're following the wrong voice. And so no wonder our evangelism is so weak and our outreach is so lacking in conviction. If we believe that salvation is won just by being a good person, then who needs to the embarrassment of talking about a crucified Christ? And won't we just be judged? At least 86% of us will be. Won't we just be judged along with the false shepherds in a double judgment, personally, as well as guilty of leading others to believe wrongly that there is entrance into the kingdom of heaven through any other door? Dear sheep, Jesus says, "I am the door." God the Father is the gatekeeper. The only entrance into the kingdom of God is through his beloved Son, Jesus Christ. Only Jesus Christ has atoned for the sins of the whole world. Only Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead, lives, and reigns to all eternity to raise all of his sheep from the dead to live with him forever in heaven. There is a world of difference between being a good person in the eyes of others and trusting that your goodness rests solely in Jesus Christ and him alone. Let me say that again. There is a world of difference between being a good person in the eyes of the world and trusting that Jesus Christ is your goodness in the eyes of God the Father. There is also a world of difference between a life of abundance and an abundant life. Lots of shepherds promise you a life of abundance and a few of them actually deliver on their promises. But only Jesus Christ promises to give you an abundant life, because only Jesus leads you in paths of righteousness to green pastures and still waters, where there is no fear of evil, for he has overcome all of the evil in this world and even the evil one, and he is with you. Jesus says, "I am the door. Knock, and I will be opened unto you. And through me, you will enter into the heavenly banquet hall, where a seat at the banquet table has been reserved for you. And you, with your anointed head and your overflowing cup, will be surrounded with goodness and mercy all the days of your life. And you will dwell in the sheepfold of the Lord forever."